turn it on in the test suite to make sure it doesn't sort of just bit rot completely. But at this stage, there's no real reason why it would continue. The other effort that's been going on and has built up the core foundation that will give us Samba 4.0 is what's been described over the years as Frankie. And Volker will speak more about this in his talk, so I won't intend to go and try and explain it in detail. But from my perspective, sort of outside the group that, built that, as an independent Samba 3 file server launched and run in the same way that it is done at the moment, Samba 4 is a domain controller running with not listening on the SIFS port and the name type bridge. For Frankie, PDB ADS and AuthNet LogonD were written. But it's one of the very key parts that will give us Samba 4.0 are these technologies and built up over years. Over the last little while, we've been getting closer. We've been merging code together so that we have common libraries that have the Samba 3 and Samba 4 can use, and when you install it, they're in common. We don't have... in the past, we've had a situation where there's been common code, but that it was always built to one package or the other, and if you combine them together, you weren't actually using the compiled code in common. They had to be in separate object files. Now they actually are in common. We build up a single set of libutil, a single set of all the libdcrpc libraries, and the NDR libraries, string handling libraries, character conversion libraries, interface detection libraries. All these code has been brought into common so that we only have one copy of the code and we only compile it once and link it once. And then all the Samba then links against these libraries so that then it only occupies disk space once and only has one set of behaviour. It's taken a very long time. It's been a great work of many people slowly going through bringing this code together. But I found as I've been working in trying to bring some of this merged code together that sharing the foundations is key to sharing more blocks above it. It becomes too easy if you don't have those foundations available shared, code ends up quickly being in source 3 or source 4 because, I need this from one or the other, and then it gets stuck there, and we can't use it in the whole code base. So by making more of the code common, then the next layer up can be more in common, and we can slowly build through and have a common project. But it's more than just having a sort of a coexisting set of libraries. We have been renaming symbols so that we've got rid of most of them. There's a few left, but we have compatible header files. I'll show you for a real practical example of this in our torture tests, where we actually can compile code that goes in Samba 4's SME torture, but actually uses the Samba 3 includes to date, so it's going to include the Samba 3 load palm, which was needed for a particular test. So we now actually can just mix and match code throughout the code base, even code that wasn't in the top level, which was the blessed area of common code. We can just actually compile that into any part of the project. So I'll give you a little example of this. Let me find what window I was doing. Sorry. Nope, okay. So I wasn't quite so prepared for this. So I've been working to re-enable the LibNet API tests. These are important tests of important Samba functionality that was untested because it relied on testing against an installed library. And so that was a bit difficult to organise in automated testing. Because we can now link Samba, what was Samba 3 and Samba 4 code together and just say, I depend on Net API, we can also test it. In this case, I needed, for obscure reasons, to load the load palm code manually, and so it needs to include some Samba 3 headers. And this will occur for more genuine examples later. But if you can see here, we include a Samba 3 includes.h, and then we include the standard SME torture macros and things so that we can still do the correct assertions. We include the Net API from the source 3 directory, And this all just works. The header files have become compatible. We can include the Samba 3 proto.h without it conflicting with other important parts of Samba 4. That's because we have renamed away most of the conflicting symbols. We have made sure prototypes are compatible already. That's been a task that's been going on for a long time. So now we're able to actually link this together and actually run tests to check this Net API code. This example is meant to be an external library, so you think it's pretty easy, but there's no reason why this same process can't continue for all sorts of other functions throughout the system, even ones that require the Samba 3 includes the H for dependencies at the moment. There isn't any reason why that can't be tortured in a common SMB torture binary. And I think that's really powerful. It may, for example, mean that we can actually move to having one SMB torture binary, where we just run those the Samba 3 tests will be run probably without as much of the test assertion torture macros, but we can get them into the same binary and having them run. And I think this is a really important point for being able to have a single project where, and we'll slowly work it so that it's not necessary to, in this case I had to choose to include the source 3 inclusive H, I couldn't include the source 4 one first. But we can keep on working that out as we keep on making the headers more compatible, as we have made the libraries compatible between the two code bases, with a few exceptions that we've got about six things left, three, which I'll talk about in a little bit, I think. There's still a lot to do, however. LOPAM handling no longer conflicts between the two parts of the project, but they're not in common either. So we need a way to make sure that when you call, you know, LP-LOCDIR, that you actually get the current LOCDIR for however the system is set up. I'm hoping just to have one LOPAM system. We'll probably, it may well be that we load, just use the Samba 3 LOPAM system. It's got the registry backend that we need to be able to support. I'm not entirely sure of the interfaces. I'm still working out some ideas around in my head as to how to do that. But we need to have one load pump, and I don't believe it's really as hard as it used to be. We already know that we can actually have both load pump systems, the headers files and the object files, linking together into the same binary, and they don't conflict, which means you can literally have one call the other if you need to. So I'm thinking, one idea I'm thinking for one direction is that you could create a Samba 3 context. Now, Samba 4 has LOPAM context that you pass around everywhere. Having got to the stage of passing them around everywhere, why not create a Samba 3 context that says, call the Samba 3 LOPAM system? And that would allow us to quickly link across before as we move things together. Similarly, we could arrange so that in certain situations, the calls to the Samba 3 functions might call to a global LOPAM that Samba 4 has set up. I'm not exactly sure of the mechanics, but I know that we can glue these two together and that we can have the same options and things all supported throughout the code base. This is really important for us combined Samba 4.0, but I also don't believe it is that much work. And it will give us a consistent user experience across our whole suite of parts to Samba. We have a lot of work to do still in authentication and authorization. The glue modules that both Volker and I have tried writing get us a good start, but there's still stuff to do. This is sort of what I was talking about here. One of the bigger server roles is something, there's just a number of little things that we have to go through and put in common, but it's just work to do, and I believe it can be done, and it's something I want to focus on. A bit more interesting is, how do we handle substitutions in a multi-task model? %u, current connected user, it currently works via a global variable that's set that I'm processing for this user. So if we've got a single process model where potentially multiple users are connected at the same time, how do we ensure that variable substitutes the right thing? I've been having ideas about whether the LOPAM context that you pass around might represent the current set of substitutions, and that would allow the Samba 4 code to sort of, you could sort of marker, you get a sort of a clone of a LOPAM context with certain substitutions to be applied. I'm not entirely certain on that, but I think that they're things that we can handle. And a lot of the important LOPAM functions that really matter don't allow those substitutions because they're already marked as const in the Samba 3 code, like LP realm, you know, basic things like LOCDIRs. They don't actually change due to these. And so they're the ones that tend to matter the most. And then there's a lot that's this SMB specific code for the file server is some of the worst of where the substitutions really get hairy, as I understand it. But it's something to look into, and that's why I'm flagging it. Now, Volker?
The worst one is LP printer name.
LP printer name?
Yeah, because that goes
for
almost school as
Myers.
And...
Oh, wow. Yeah. Okay. For the tape, Volker was mentioning LP printer name is gets substituted through the whole SPULSS layer, and that could be tricky. Fortunately, that's all in the Samba 3 side. And so, but that, how are you handling that in your, Simo, how are you handling it in your external SPULSS SD? No idea. That's why it's still experimental. Okay. Well, if you can, I'll leave that one as something you can fix. Because when you get it working for that, it just won't be a problem anymore. In the authentication area, we have still things to do. We need to merge the Kerberos acceptors across the code base so that we only have one thing that accepts a Kerberos ticket. This is particularly important so we can use AES across the whole code base. There are sites that have actually stipulated, you know, all AES. And I've actually had to tell them, no, Samba 3 can't do that, so we can't... So, you know, we're going to work to be using real GSS API rather than our fake-up GSS API. Simo and I are working on that. And we're going to, you know, however it happens, we're going to have try and merge as much of those acceptors as possible, preferably all the way to GSS accept security context. We also, I'm really concerned that when we do merge these authentication things that we avoid divergent behaviour. I don't want a situation where a multi-protocol client like a domain logon that happens to, for some reason, hit LDAP and SIFS, finds that it can log in on LDAP and is rejected on SIFS. That's just going to be undebuggable. And so I'm really keen that we go as far up the stack as possible. I really would like to have something like GenSec used across the whole protocol suite where it just takes blobs and there's one code path all the way down to accepted and that we don't sort of have different parsing. We've done a lot of effort in Samba over the years not to have different parts of the code processing logon packets in different ways, and I want to continue that effort. Encrypted DCRPC is a similar thing that, you know, I'd be worried about divergent behaviour. We've got two different DCRPC stacks and they interact with the GSS libraries differently. So that's something that needs to be done. I don't want a situation where one transport accepts Kerberos and the other one doesn't and we have weird fallback behaviours. So lots of things to do, but I think they can be done. IDMAP is a big area that will need to be addressed. Currently, Samba 4 has a very basic IDMAP subsystem, completely unconfigurable. We need to really have a common IDMAP subsystem that's just used across the whole code base. One of my big things that I'd like to get to soon is merging the session info structures between the two code bases so that we can have a single way that we describe a user. Currently, we've got one that's described in IDL and we use for the named pipe transport, and I want to continue using that throughout the rest of Samba 3. And that will allow us to write more application code that needs to handle knowledge about a user but doesn't have to be as specific about where the user was authenticated from. We already have a lot of our DCRPC infrastructure in common where the variables that when you do, process a SAMR packet, the input structure is the same in Samba 3 and Samba 4. The pipe structure is different, but the session info is often the main thing that's being requested for from the pipe structure. So if we can get that in common, we are one step closer to then being able to get more parts in common and write generic code that doesn't really care what layer processed it. And eventually we can try and get more of those layers in common. We need to plug in or merge privileges handling, because currently Samba 3 and Samba 4 have different databases that privileges are stored in, and that can matter. It does affect authorization decisions, and we do now pass the privileges between Samba 3 and Samba 4 across the named pipe context. So we've got to make sure that a privilege set that Samba 3 generated for an incoming SMB connection matches the privilege set that something gets if it comes in over LDAP. We also need to come up with a common concept of the guest user and the system user. Currently, these are generated by different code bases and they end up with different sets of SIDs. It's really quite surprising to note Samba 3 generating up two SIDs for system, one of a Unix mapped SID for the UID that they are, and the other, which is system SID. And I need to understand whether that user map SID is important, it seems to be in there for a reason, and how to make those two merged, or whether to add yet another marker to say this is system, that we don't look at the SIDs at all. But we need to sort of sort that out one way or the other so that we can always look at, call a single function. Is this token system? Okay, don't do any more access checking because we, you know, this guy's system. Similarly, the guest. And we do a lot of things, you know, not permitted for guest. We need to make sure that we have a concept of guest that's the same across the code base. Winbind also has an issue for us. We have two winbinds. We have disjoint functionality. It isn't a case that we can just replace one with the other, even though it looks like it. SAMBA4's winbind has hooks for read-only domain controller support. And so those things still need to be handled somehow as we move to a combined SAMBA 4.0. But the SAMBA 3 winbind has got a lot more completion elsewhere. And I don't really want to maintain two winbinds. I don't think we've got the resources for that. So we need to sort of work on, you know, defining those requirements. So if someone wants to pick that up in the SAMBA 3 side, or just arranging so that they don't listen on exactly the same transports, and so that we can just keep them both around, but it's just new to the SAMBA 4 one, for example, so it doesn't do user group enumeration, all that kind of stuff. Whatever we decide to do, we've just got to make it work, and make it work as SAMBA 4 progresses into forests and things like that. I would like other questions during the talk if people wish to. It'd be far more interactive and much less boring for me. Okay, question from Jeremy and then Kai.
Sorry. So what are the hooks for read-only DCs? What does it need to do differently to make read-only DCs work?
Differently, we've got some things with forwarding. We need to know who the read-write DC that we're bound to is so that we can forward Kerberos requests to it. And we also
isn't that handled by finding the KDC? The sort of
no, because KDC if you go just find any KDC, you'll find yourself. We should know who we're sort of bound to, so we know who. Because also because Kerberos packets are often UDP, I really don't want to just send them off to somewhere. Now we also need to be able to pass on NTLM authentication. That's well done in SAMBA 3, but we need to make sure we pass it to someone else and not ourselves. So both of those I have a little bit more special than what you'd expect first up. I need to also just fully spec out what it is we did. There's a couple of other things I think we handled. It's proxying. There's also some other things for proxying name updates and some other odd bits and pieces. There's some DNS stuff that you can't do locally. You have to proxy to your server. You actually go via netlog on stuff, and we asked Winbind to do that. So you basically, instead of doing a signed, you would normally be able to write to your DNS zone. You would normally be able to write to DNS, but RODCs aren't allowed to write to DNS because they're unprivileged. And so they ask over netlogon. And so that's currently forwarded through Winbind because it's the one that's set up and knows how to talk. So again, it's things I need to write them down and give someone a set of things to do. And then hopefully we can get them implemented. Okay. The other things that we have to do are three build systems. We've got the top-level build system for WAF. We've still got SAMBA build macros in the tree where we sort of say this with SAMBA 3, this with SAMBA 4. That doesn't make any sense in code that's in the top level because that's all compiled with SAMBA build 4 at the moment because it's from the WAF build. I have been flamed, pilloried, and hung up to dry for SAMBA WAF build, and so we'll remove it. But I was using that for some code that I couldn't make the autoconf build handle due to dependencies, but due to that pillaring, I will find a different name and solution there. I really do believe we need to move to the top-level WAF build. Having just one build system, the build SAMBA, I think is a really important part of moving to SAMBA 4.0. We still have conflicts in tool names. Fortunately, these aren't too hard to resolve in terms of any changes we make or changes back again. But SME Client, SME Torture, NMB Lookup, and NTLM Auth are the list that I found. WB Info is also a little bit odd. I need to check into some details there. We actually have arranged our build and test system that we can actually, if we do change the names of these tools, I don't have to rewrite the entire test suite. When we change it, we actually have a mapping function that we use that says, SMB client 3 is SMB client in this build, or is SMB client 3, things like that. That just helps us make some of these changes, or potentially make the changes optional based on configure options or something. I'd really rather not go there, though. But these are just things that we need to address. There is still a lot of unmerged library code. These functions don't have the same names anymore. We've made sure that things don't have the same names, but there's a lot of things that have similar purposes, which we have two implementations of. It's not an immediate cost, but it sometimes means that other code is harder to bring in common. And so we should try and move some of this, but it's not as urgent as other things. It won't, as and of itself, stop us doing what we need to do, which is releasing Samba 4.0. We don't have to get it all perfect first before we get it out the door. I think our users deserve it sooner than that. An example that I see of this is the Stir case comp. Currently, the Samba 3 implementation, which goes via TALAC for non-ASCII, is still in the tree because I didn't dare make any more string changes than I really needed to. I'd like to bring that across to the Samba, to the common implementation that uses the code points code, and therefore never needs to do any allocation. That's, you know, there may be some subtle change that may induce, and so that's, you know, it's not costing us to leave it separate for now, but it's also silly that we have two different ways of comparing strings for equality. Some other things that we have is distinct SAMR, LSA, and NetLog on servers. Simo in a break earlier was convincing me that this is in fact a good thing and that I shouldn't consider these to be a problem. We have important pass-to-be backend users to consider in Samba 3. I don't see any way that we're... the Samba 3 LDAP backend is something we cannot emulate by hook or by crook in Samba 4. And Simo's IPA. So those SAMR servers with those LDAP backends are not going anywhere soon. I'd like to try and ensure we don't have any more duplicate code than we have to have there, but it seems pretty clear that the two different models of against ADS and against PassDB will continue. If you were trying to merge them and just use, say, PassDB against Samba 4, you would have problems with ACLs. One of the big challenges is that the ACL models are very different. Samba 4 does ACLs at the LDB layer, while Samba 3 does ACLs at the SAMR layer, and then you become root, and then you do your operation. So that's important. Understanding that difference is important to ensuring that we merge the right things and not the wrong things. It's important that we get the correct current object owner when we add things to the directory, when we create a user. So we don't just want to try and apply both ACLs and hope it's the right thing. Finally, I want to thank the heroes of those people who've been doing work to merge code. I've been particularly thankful for Yelma, who couldn't make it here, but has been a true hero early in the merge development and doesn't really get much credit for his work. Gunther is... where are you hiding, Gunther? There you are. Tireless soldier, slowly working to merge stuff. Tridge has done amazing things in some of the things with S3 compatible... with the S3... I'm talking about merging code, and Metz has done an amazing amount on the DCRPC libraries. Others, of course, but it's. I really do think that we really can release Samba 4.0 if we want to. We have all the parts. These parts are well tested, used in the real world. We know how to integrate them. We shouldn't wait any longer to release Samba 4.0. We should just finish with the integration work as well as we can and then decide to release it and simply say the Active Directory stuff, it may behave a bit differently. This is our first Active Directory release. It's not going to be perfect. There will be some odd behaviours where some things don't quite look like the rest, but we'll need just to describe that to our users and get out the door. In the same way that we released Samba 2.2 with its first domain controller support, it was rough around the edges and it didn't do a lot of things, but it got people doing the work they wanted to do. And I found our administrators surprisingly tolerant of our idiosyncrasies for the fact that they can use Samba doing the things that they want it to do. As long as you explain to them up front the situation, I believe they're quite happy to accept what is in fact a very good quality domain controller with its limitations. So we should, instead of waiting for things to be perfect and everything to be perfectly together, that we instead get this out the door and ready for our users to use. At that point, I'd like to turn it over to any more questions.
Can't imagine that there aren't any.
Can you give us a demo?
Yeah, I can give a few demos. One of the demos I want to show here is so what we're seeing here is a demo of the Samba 3 member server code being tested in real time against the Samba 4 domain controller code. So it will start up a Samba 4 DC, provision it, join Samba 3 to that DC, and then run a number of tests. Unfortunately, Samba 4 is not the fastest thing to provision, but this will be up in about 30 seconds. Any other questions while we wait for a couple of tests to scroll by? Yeah, we've got Michael Adam in the front row.
Okay, when you say that you think Samba 4 is ready to be released if we want to, what can we say about stability of the database, the user database, and also I think this is important so that upgrades don't somehow break our users' user databases.
Yeah, so we have two things. The stability of the database code in general, in that we haven't changed the underlying format of LDB in the time that we've had it, basically. So the data's always been... We have changed some of the structure of the schema, and so Matthew has the upgrade provision scripts that have done quite a good job. We haven't been changing the content of that provision in the last year or so, since I can remember any major change to that. So people have been trying to run upgrade provision recently, and we've been saying, well, look, there's really no point to, because we actually haven't changed what's in the provision, and it's tended to just work with the previous provision. So I'm quite confident in the upgrade path, that we've got ways and means of dealing with that. And I think that once we go to 4.0, we will just in general try and make sure that it will always be able to work with those old databases, without needing to necessarily rewrite the database. It's already very close to what Microsoft already puts in their database, so that I'm quite confident in those respects.
Okay, maybe a short SQL question. From talking to Mats about this, he always says we have to be careful when, for instance, we provision a Samba DC and then join a Windows DC to that, so that we are the initial source of the database. So how complete is the replication? I mean, the danger is that we somehow put some, uninitialized or wrongly initialized pieces into Windows database. How safe is it?
It certainly is a risk, but we haven't had anyone report any issues with Samba provisioned databases adding Windows to it. Anything's possible, but we've actually had a lot of users for a long time. We haven't had a report of that, and we do test Samba provisioned and being brought into Windows and tested. And so I'm not. That's part of what WinTest brings us. Mm-hmm. Okay. So always chances of these things being wrong, but I'm actually pretty happy with it.
Okay, thanks.
Kai.
Okay, so you were talking about a couple of the clients or of the command line programs still being duplicates. Is there anything about Samba 4 SMB client that we don't have in the Samba 3 SMB client?
The main thing that's different is the Kerberos handling in the Samba 4 client library is much better.
Oh, okay.
I've got some with the credentials layer. I clearly not got the right name for that.
So you don't have you have
I thought that that you had SMB2 support in the client libraries for, therefore you link them in with Samba 4's SMB client, but I didn't think we had the SMB2 support in the Samba 3 SMB client.
I'm not familiar with those details, sorry.
Is Volker here? Ah, there it is. So we don't yet have SMB2 support in Samba 3 client library, but Volker's working on that as far as I know.
So then the point develops, so as soon as it's a superset in the Samba 3 client.
Well, we'll figure it out, and it's an area where we'll keep on merging. I suspect both of those tools may be around for a bit longer, but we'll sort out names and things and get them out of our user's way. I suspect Samba 4s will probably be renamed because it's got just enough differences that it'll break someone's script. I don't want to do that. And this one is testing. What we've created here is Samba 4 has and Samba 3 are both running in a Frankie-style setup, but I'm not calling it Frankie because it's not the way that the people who've worked on that set things up. I'm using the plugins that I wrote for PDB-ADS and PDB Samba 4 and Auth Samba 4 to authenticate these users that are connecting to a Samba 3 file server, and the rest of the infrastructure is Samba 4. And it adds users, and it then makes connections with those users as well as other users that are in the provision. So this shows, this is using WinBind. So Samba 3's WinBind's up and running in the plugin environment, and is using the, I believe it's using the ParseDB module to help run WinBind. It may soon also be able to just directly talk to Samba 4's LSA and SAMR server. It may already be. I need to check which bits, which parts of the layers are redirected. But that shows us and ensures that we can keep working the approach of the Frankie style approach of a Samba 3 file server that started on its own, but then uses the Samba 4 for authentication. So that's in the tree and working, and will be kept working by AutoBuild. We can also add tests for PDB-ADS and PDB-NET, AuthNet logon D if Volker desires. I did the ones that I worked on. Any other questions? Stunned silence. Five minutes to go. Come on, we can have some more questions.
Otherwise,
okay.
I'm not sure if I got it right. It sounds to me that Samba 4 somehow loads Samba 3 file server into memory. What is the overhead compared to the old plain Samba 3 solution? Is it slower, faster, or?
It should be identical. It's running this. Where Samba 4 loads the Samba 3 file server, it's just where it links into that code and runs it.
All right, so it's in the same process.
It's forked off as a separate child in any case, because Samba 3 expects one child per TCP connection. And it's the identical code that would be running if Samba 3 was running and forking its child. It's a little bit of different initialization, but that's why it worked. So we got it up and going fairly quickly because it's exactly the same code, and it's... So there isn't any big, I wouldn't expect any big performance dramas or anything else there. It's just a different way of launching it that allows it to always come up with the rest of the servers. A bit of a philosophical debate as to whether you should start the different components manually with a script or whether one thing should start everything and then form into its subsystems that do the particular tasks.
What I was rather thinking about, it's that the data passes through more layers in Samba 4 than in...
It'll pass through exactly the same number of layers.
Okay.
Because literally, the Samba 3 code literally does the accept.
Mm-hmm.
So there's no more layers in the... And similarly, for the authentication of things, it's pretty much the same. And though, there's not going to be a file server performance impact. There's other pros and cons to the different ways you might architect it, but it's not performance. I don't expect to be the one.
Yeah. All right.
I think one of the more interesting tests you were talking about, you know, Samba 4, let's ship it. Sounds great. Sounds good. One of the things I think is interesting is that if we've done as a test,
taking, let's say, here's an Ubuntu box in front of me, there's a Red Hat box over there, just drop in the replacement SMBD, drop in the replacement SMB password, all of the Samba 3 things we know and love. If everything works, and this is Samba 4 build, building Samba 3, then at least that part of it, we should be very comfortable with.
The code base as it is incredibly similar to the Samba 3.6 we're about to release, because we last diverged that only a couple of months ago. We've got a different build system, but those components that are most critical to most of our users are the same components and for the users of a file server will be running in exactly the same way and basically be unchanged.
So I think that this will be an interesting challenge. Ubuntu, for example, we got our Samba team member that helps out, right? Some of these things are going to be very easy. Mm. And if it works, then that intermediate stage is trivial.
Yeah.
Because clearly, configuring Samba tool and the other pieces under Kickstart and the various tools will take longer.
Sure. This, and as people grow to use the Active Directory functionality, then they'll start using that where things are a bit different. But that's one of the things that I think will make a Samba 4 release possible, is that all the parts that have been there are still there. We're just adding an Active Directory domain controller as an optional extra piece. People who pick that up can pick it up and use it, because they're far more desperate for it as we are to get it to them. So, Kai, and then I think that's it.
So I must admit that I missed the first part of your talk, but you might have mentioned that. So assuming we're doing this drop-in replacement thing that Steve suggested, can I just drop in this solution you've presented and have Samba 3 DC replaced? I mean, assuming that doesn't work.
It's the same code that we're about to ship for 3.6. is built in the WAF build from the top level, and it will behave in exactly the same way. The load palm is still the same. All those things are still exactly the same. So none of that has actually been changed. We will, we may need to do a bit more merging, but it's going to be minor compared to the...
So the question is, if I start a Samba 4 process that's configured in smb.conf as role domain controller, will that work as NT4 style DC?
If you start the SMBD process like you do now,
I just go and ignore the Samba process
and then we've got what we've got. We can try and start doing things in the Samba process to make it also do that.
No,
that
I think it's cleaner that way.
Tricky.
Yeah, fair enough.
And so we'll just be able to tell our users, for the AD functionality, we have these additional binaries, provide that.
Sure.
And some distributors may not ship it. They might decide this AD thing is just too much for them, in which case they'll just ship the binaries that have existed so far. But I hope we don't get down that situation, because I think all of our users deserve the ability to try being an AD domain controller. Okay, Simo with the last question.
Okay, just another last one.
And then I think I need to turn over the podium.
Just a comment. The main issue has always been for distributions to be able to ship the both things.
Mm.
We have them conflicting, so if they don't conflict...
I don't see any reason why there'd be any conflict. That's the beauty of having just one build system, is we won't release something that internally conflicts. Okay, well...
Thank you, Andrew.
Thank you.